Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Adoration to your name. Worship to your name. We ask that you breathe upon your word this morning. We ask that no person, one person will live here this way. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Go ahead and give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Please be seated. Welcome to church this morning, and I bring you greetings from the United Kingdom Glory Conference. Greetings from Leeds. And very, very shortly, you shall be seeing some of the clips which I believe some of us have already watched, and I believe that the earth is being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. I also welcome you to the pre-convention Sunday service. I believe that God has something in store for you today, and you shall not go back the same in Jesus' name. Say aloud, amen. We started a subject on Wednesday midweek service. It's titled The Plague of Lovelessness, and we shall continue the second part of it today. If you are not in that service, please, I would like you to pick up that message. This is actually part two. We'll go to three in the third service. We had a threefold objective in that message. It was to understand the lovelessness of our generation and to understand the consequences of lovelessness, and then to understand the cause or the origin of lovelessness. How that we live in a generation that is plagued with lovelessness, and how that there are consequences of lovelessness and the cause or the origin of lovelessness. We read Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 12, where the Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We saw that as we approach the end of the age, there shall be the shortage of love. And we saw that this lovelessness will translate into characterlessness. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 8 to 10, we saw that Romans chapter 13. Oh, no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh, love does not hurt anybody. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. We said that if you know love, you don't need to struggle to know the law. That is why lovelessness equals characterlessness. Somebody decides to destroy a person, maybe because money is at stake. That lack of character, that display of heartlessness came because love was bankrupt. Somebody denied someone promotion because they refused to give a bribe or they refused to commit sin with them. That characterless manifestation was a product of lovelessness in the heart. And we said in that midweek service that love will solve the problem of the world. Leadership of nations, for example, heartlessness for the people, interest just in themselves and don't care whether the masses die, is the reason why we have the characterless leaderships in the nations of the earth today. And we saw all of that. And then we began to see the consequences of lovelessness. What is the consequence? Number one, we said hurtful, lawless behavior. When people don't love people, they become lawless in their behavior. They become hurtful. They hurt people. We saw all of that, and then we began to see the other outcomes, the lack of divine presence and manifestation. God is love. And where a person does not walk in love, he cannot walk in God. The presence of God is excluded from the climate that does not love. Where a person does not walk in love, you can't feel God around them. If there is anything to feel, it's the devil. There is the lack of divine presence, and that is the anointing. There is the lack of divine manifestation. That is lovelessness. Thirdly, it is the impotence of faith. Faith worketh by love, according to scripture. There are many people today whose faith are not working. They are praying, but prayer is not working because love is bankrupt in the heart. The Bible said, faith worketh by love. And so faith is impotent without love. We looked at that in the midweek service. Number four is the ineffectiveness of the giving covenant. Under normal circumstances, the Bible said, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. Said, as far as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall not cease. But he said, where love is absent, if I give my body, now you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse, chapter 13 verse 3, where he said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. It holds me no return. Even if I sell my house, I give to church. Even if I offer myself as a physical sacrifice, and I am not walking in love towards people and towards God, all that exercise is a waste of time. It's a waste of money. Nothing will come out of it. That is very frightening. No wonder some of you say, I've paid my tithe, I did what they said I should do, and yet I've not seen result. It might be connected to a bitterness and unforgiveness or something like that in the heart. The ineffectiveness of the giving covenant. Number five is the limitation of life's potential. Life's potential. God made man in his image. And God is love. And so it is when we walk in love that our potentials can come out. We can become everything God wants us to become as we walk in love. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say the loudest, amen. Somebody say the Lord must, amen. Having seen that, we saw all of that in the midweek service. This is a very, very serious summary of a message that was preached with so much passion. How many of you were in the service? It was preached with so much intensity. And I would like you to pick up that saying. And now we looked at the origin of or causes of lovelessness. Number one was godlessness. We say that if a person is godless, he will be loveless. Because God is love. That nobody can claim to love. Nobody can claim to know God who does not love people. The deeper we go in God, the deeper we go in love. You, like they used to say, you carry church on your head, and yet you are not in talking terms with your wife, and yet your children don't have any relationship with you. Something is wrong with that fake spirituality. Very fake spirituality. It is in your relationship with God that you confirm your relationship with. It is in your relationship with man that you confirm your relationship with God. The quality of your relationship with God is reflected in the quality of your relationship with man. We looked at that at the midweek service. And I believe that it's a new day for somebody. Don't forget this. I didn't say this in the midweek service. It is in your relationship with man that you confirm your relationship with God. Because he said, if you claim to love God and you don't love man, you are a liar. Because how can you say you love a man, a God you have not seen, when you cannot love a man you have seen? The quality of your relationship with God is reflected in the quality of your relationship with man. Somebody say a loud amen. So, origin of or cause of lovelessness, why people can't love, number one is godlessness. Now we go to number two and number three in this service. Number two, I call it enviousness. That is godlessness. Enviousness, the plague of envy, the plague of jealousy is at the root of hatred. The plague of envy, the plague of jealousy is a root of hatred, is a root of lovelessness. There are people who hate you without a cause. Because there is something about you they envy, you are not aware. Am I communicating at all? Look at Cain's anger that made him to kill Abel. It was rooted in envy, rooted in jealousy. Genesis chapter 4 and in verse 4 to verse 8. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4 to verse 8. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said, okay, why are you wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. And thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Brutal. What was the fault of Cain? Of Abel? He just behaved to the best of his knowledge. Can I ask you a question? Was it Abel who advised Cain to give the offering Cain gave? Was it Cain who advised God to accept his offering? Was it possible for Cain to accept, for Abel to accept his own offering, to approve himself? So what was his fault? There are people who are angry that you are bright looking. Things that you didn't achieve, you didn't necessarily have a hand in. Why should he be the one? One lady told the pastor's wife to pray for her because she has seen her husband. And the pastor's wife said, so what has happened? The man has not come to marry you yet? He said, no, I am still trusting God. You say, why? You say, because the man is already married. He said, so how will he be your husband? Do you know the wicked reply she gave? He said, what if the wife die? Jesus Christ. So that pastor's wife was telling another one. He said, please be praying for yourself. Oh. Be praying for yourself. Because there are some people who envy your position. And they wish you dead to take it. Anyone who wish you dead will die that death. Anyone who is envious and bitter at any favor God has given you, at any opportunity God has given you, envy and bitter with anything, any privilege you have in God, who would have wished you dead, they will take your place in that debt. What they are expecting to happen to you will happen to them. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. There are people you see, you greet them, they refuse to reply your greeting. They are wondering, why should he be the one? Is it only you? Why should he be the one? Why should she be the one? Why should they be the one? Someone say amen. Amen. It's not of him that willeth or runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. And by the way, there are things, God is no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of principles. If Cain did what Abel did, God would have accepted him too. Went to Houston, Texas. The mayor came, gave us a word, declared 3 days, Dunamis Glory Conference days. Dunamis Revival Fire Conference days in Houston. For the city of Houston. He came, he sent, I'm talking of Houston. He came and sent his representative because he couldn't be there. For Leeds, the mayor of Leeds came for the program himself. Before he left, he asked for prayer. He was about to go, he said, but you have not prayed for me. I took him back to the altar. None of them, we invited any of them. I didn't, I don't know them. We were there and they showed up. And then now somebody may be trying to kill himself for what we had no hand in. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I mean, and in several aspects of your life. And yourself shouldn't be a victim of such. Don't be bitter. Don't be envious and jealous because God favored anybody. There is no star that shines so bright enough to block the shining of another star. There is no eagle, no bird in the sky that flies so massively that blocks the flying of another eagle. I haven't seen where the elephant was too big until it blocked the road for another elephant to pass. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Do you know that when I saw a scripture that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ had envy inside? That was when the matter of envy became more serious to me. I didn't know that Jesus Christ was being envied by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, please take your seat, the high priest. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 17 to verse 18, Matthew 27, 17 to verse 18, look at what the scripture was saying. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will you
that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Kill the man. When did they burn him? That he will be gathering crowds that we cannot gather. At least I have been high priest for 50 years. This boy is only 30 something years. When we say people should come to synagogue, they refuse to come. Yet this boy will go to the waterside. People will gather there. We did everything. Sent out tongue criers. Sent everybody that there is an announcement in the synagogue. This Sabbath day. Only about 15 or 16 people came. This boy went to the wilderness. Wilderness. Everybody went there. And he's talking to the council. He said, we have to kill him. Because even what is the worst one now is that he's not only making blind to see, he's multiplying food for them. You know, there are many hungry people. Since we don't know the source of his power to reproduce the result, he claimed that he's reading the law. We are teachers of the law. Before he was born. Envy. See, as powerful as Jesus Christ was, he was nailed by envy. Most times when you see people find your fault, their challenge is envy. When you present a big vision to people, and instead of saying, oh, what a powerful vision, they begin to knock it down. Who told you, in this country, you think this can be achieved? No, think of something else. That statement is coming from the root of envy. In other words, who do you think you are? Where do you think you want to go? Who do you want to leave behind? It is so terrible. It's so terrible. That is why people are so loveless. Because when you share a testimony, they try to look for a testimony that can counter your own. Where people are finding very, very difficult to be genuinely excited with the progress of somebody. They find it very hard to be genuinely at home. To be genuinely excited that somebody is successful. They find it difficult. Beloved brothers and sisters, that will never be your story. And that will never be your lifestyle. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Lift up your right hand and say in the name of Jesus, I receive complete deliverance and freedom from the plague of envy. I refuse, I reject the plague of enviousness. I receive complete deliverance from the plague of envy. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 13 verse 44, look at what happened to Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle preached, like we say in Nigeria, sote, the next Sabbath day. Almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Almost the whole city. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. David didn't arise until they saw the crowd. When they saw, I'm not true yet, when they saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. It's not true. What the man is saying is not true. It's a lie. No miracle happened. Nobody was healed. They just tried to organize something. They are just deceiving you people. That is one riffraff on the internet. Who is reacting to it? Reacting from his failure. Reacting based on his retarded existence. Reacting based on the limitations of his life that he could have asked for help from. So all these people going to church, they brainwash all of them. They're all dummies. I'm sure you heard that before. Just they are there, just brainwash people. Those are people that are chronic failures. People who are so hopeless about life and they can't find anything good with anybody or anything. That is not your portion. You are a successful person. You are a progressive person. A progressing person. You will never be in that category. You will fulfill your life's assignment. After we finished the Leeds conference, a young man invited me for his meeting in, what's the name of the place? Bradfordshire. Young man, doing very well. I mean, well, so we had done night vigil. I was planning to, we're planning to end by 1:30 a.m. But that was a plan that never saw the light of day. We continued till 3 a.m. after 3 because we had a morning session to attend to. And then people engaged me from that 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. Yes. Pray for me, this and that, that and that. Before we could just try to, I don't think I can boast of 2 hours sleep. I can't boast of it. All right? And then, so before we went, we called him, he said, so see how the situation is. We have done vigil all the way from the night till morning, and we had no time to sleep, and so on and so forth. Would you allow us to go and then we'll come back another time for your meeting? And what is the turnout of the meeting like? He says there are about 500 people for this morning session. 500 people for this morning. 500. We just finished a massive crowd of people. And then I didn't sleep. And then I traveled all the way to 500 people. I said, okay. That's the Leeds program they are showing you there. I said, okay. Going there was going to cost us so much money extra. It's a 30-minute flight, but it was very costly. So what do you want us to do? He said, I want you to still come, sir, if it is possible. I said, all right, I am on my way. He said, 500 people. I'm on my way. We'll be there. So we flew all the way. Came, traveled by road another 30 minutes after the 30 minutes flight. Cause it camp meeting. That's it there. That's the young man right there. And we went there. He said, even if it is 10 minutes, just step in. He said, we have publicized and told the people you are coming. So even if it is 10 minutes, just step in. And then you move. Our flight was meant to be 1 o'clock. 11 o'clock. 11. By the time I stepped in there and I saw the 500 or less people and I began to preach, I just went on like a rocket that lost control. I mean, without breaks, I just kept on. Fire, 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 fire. Went on, 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 and went on. That's the man and his wife. Is vibrating on the ground. This one came with rheumatoid arthritis, not walking. Now, this is the point I'm making. By the time we're through, I told him, he said, you know what, sir? You didn't come for all these people. You came for me. You came for my wife. I'm the person you came for. And I said to him, I said, you know what? Feel very free with us going forward. Let us know where we can be of help in what you do. On our way to the airport, he said, I thought you, how tired you were. I thought you were only going to step in and do 10 minutes. Because he followed himself, walked the night vigil. I thought you were going to do only 10 minutes. I didn't know you were going to preach that length and then still minister and all manner of healings and so on. I said, that is how our life has been wired. We preach to 50, like we are preaching to 100,000, like we are preaching to 1,000,000. And here we are today. Are you following what I'm saying here? My passion is to see to what extent this young man can be pushed. How he can be pushed. You see the 99% all white people there. Doing very aggressive work. Is going into Trafalgar Square. Doing street evangelism. The kind of rugged things we do in Africa is what he's trying to do there. See the place he's holding the meeting on grass. Because it's a tent meeting. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It doesn't reduce you to assist another person. It doesn't reduce you to push another person forward. It is not possible for you to help lift a person and remain on the floor. It does not reduce you. It does not take anything from you. If you can make up your mind that your assignment is to ensure anywhere you see anything good, celebrate it. Anywhere you see anything positive, be excited. Anywhere you see anything progressing, let it interest you. Whether it's a person at your level or a person lower than you or a person higher than you. Somebody said, Pastor Papo Yedeko has already overtaken everybody. What does he want again? That's a pastor talking. Weak, bitter heart. And the kind of people I'm talking about, they are nothing. Some of them almost turned into native doctors in the attempt to become something important. In the attempt to become something important. Almost. Struggling to look for it. Instead of, Father bless him. The grace on your servant, may it multiply. Anything you want him to say, this is my own principle. If I say this person in front of me should go forward, no devil can prevent me from going forward. If I said, Lord, all that you want this your son to become, may he become it. It is a prayer I'm praying for myself too. It means I am telling God, all you want me to become, I shall become it. All you want me to do for you in life, I shall do it. If I'm not pulling the ones in front of me down, no one behind me can pull me down. Somebody say aloud, amen. Enviousness. Paul the apostle. Who is this man? Where did he come from? The whole city has gathered for him. And then they organized a mob to stone Paul. I'm sure you remember. They organized the mob to deal with Paul, to destroy Paul. In the next chapter, Paul was stoned and dragged out as a dead man. Then the disciples stood round about him. And he came back to life. You will fulfill your days. You will fulfill your days. I announce to you today, envy will not pull you down. And you and yourself will not be a victim of envy. I say it again, envy will not pull you down. And yourself will not be a victim of the plague of envy. In Jesus' precious name. When enviousness graduates, it goes to number 3, which is called bitterness. Even though bitterness has other roots. So, number 3, origin or cause of lovelessness is bitterness. Bitterness, oh wow, time is gone. Bitterness and unforgiveness will facilitate and enhance loveless living. Bitterness. James chapter 3, verse 11 to verse 12. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? This is a rhetorical question. The answer is obvious. No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So that no. Can any fountain yield both salt water and fresh water? No. What is the meaning? You can't be sweet. You can't be bitter and be lovely at the same time. You can't be bitter and be sweet at the same time. There is nobody who can harbor bitterness and accommodate loveliness and lovingness at the same time. You can't be a bitter personality and a sweet personality at the same time. The bitterness will corrupt the sweetness.
You can't be bitter and sweet at the same time.
You can't. If you're traveling on the road or anywhere and I hear anything like, say, oh, are you okay? Any challenge? Sorry. That is day or night. It's not acting. Eh? Room, road. You can't. It's not possible. If you are a bitter person, the bitterness you are carrying will corrupt the sweetness. There is a transfer of aggression that happens. You see how a man is shouting on the wife. Shouting. And then the wife became so agitated and tense up and transfers to the children. Mommy, shut up there. Mommy, what? God, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. She's getting terrible impute from husband. And she's trying to find time to calm down her head. And then it is flowing to the children. It's a transfer of tension.
Was Paul the apostle asking a question?
Bitter and sweet water. Someone say a loud amen. That plague of unforgiveness, that plague of bitterness, it does not only affect the flow of your love towards the person you are bitter against. It affects the flow of your love towards others. For example, young lady was disappointed and jilted by a brutal, heartless man. Ate her food, got everything, borrowed money from her. And young lady know how to overlove until they injure themselves. You overlove until they hurt themselves. Why did you make such a mistake and spend so much money on him?
I love him.
The man now abandons her and goes to another girl. She becomes so bitter against the man. But that is not the problem now. Another person comes, a genuine man comes. Say, all men are the same. Leave me alone. I love you. Love who? Lie. Lie, lie. The bitterness has colored and corrupted her sweetness. This person that looks to be charming, an excitable, exciting young lady, is now very, very tensed. Her face is straight. Doesn't want to greet anybody. Like somebody in my class used to say in those days, guys are bad. Guys are bad. No soul. There are good men and there are good women. Irrespective of what you have seen, if you encountered an upper, there is a root that is a good person. If you encounter the Judas, there is a John the Beloved. Judas crucified Jesus. John followed him to the foot of the cross. Are you following what I'm saying here today? If you have encountered a Judas, there is a John. If you have encountered an upper, there is a root. I don't know who I'm speaking to here this morning or who God is speaking to here this morning. But bitterness, 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 unforgiveness, it corrupts the fountain of love. Do you remember what David told Solomon his son? He said, you see this Absalom, you see this Joab, don't let him die normal. Don't let his gray hair go to the grave. Why, sir? He said he shed the blood of war in the time of peace. Don't let him die no more. Second Samuel chapter 3 and in verse 27. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. And he smote him there under the fifth rib. And he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Battle that happened since. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Now look at 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, and see the instructions that David gave. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in the time of peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to your wisdom, and don't let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. Don't allow him to die no more. Hallelujah. That was what bitterness cost Joab. War had ended. People died on both sides. You are still holding the issues of the war against somebody. No, it ought not to be so. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I receive complete freedom from the plague of bitterness. I refuse to be bitter in the name of Jesus. I reject bitterness in the name of Jesus. I receive help to be lovely and loving and lovable in Jesus' precious name. There are two more I'm going to be dealing with in the next service. It's called selfishness. That is a major factor in lovelessness. And the final one is actual wickedness. That's wickedness. Will be number 5. We'll deal with that in the second service in addition to what we have done. But what is the cure for lovelessness? We saw on Wednesday already, godliness. Through the time that we spent in the presence of God. Oh, we haven't seen it, right? All right, cure for lovelessness number 1, godliness. True time spent in the presence, in His presence and in His word. Godliness, becoming godly by spending time in the presence of God, spending time in the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 18, he said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed into the same image. We are changed into the same image. We are changed. The more time we spend with God, the more time we spend in His word, the more like God we become. That is why I said it is a lie. When anybody says he is godly and he is loveless, it's a lie. It's a contradiction of terms. It's a lie. When somebody says he has a relationship with God and his relationship with human beings is terrible, it's a lie. Number 2 is contentment with what God provided. Contentment with what God has provided. Contentment. Contentment is cure for covetousness. Cure for the covetousness or covetousness we talked about, or the enviousness we talked about. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 7, he said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out of this world. Alongside that is the consciousness that nobody receives anything if God did not give to them. John chapter 3 verse 27. John chapter 3 verse 27. He said, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. What God has not given me yet, I don't need for now. And if God is doing it for somebody else, I celebrate God, I appreciate God for them. While I trust God to change my own story. While I trust God to change my own life. Hallelujah. Contentment with what God, and I've spoken a lot already. Celebrate what God does for others. What you celebrate, you attract. What you antagonize, you frustrate. Number 3 is the conscious decision to walk in forgiveness. The conscious decision to walk in forgiveness. Making the choice unto forgiveness. It is critical towards towards overcoming lovelessness. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 14 to verse 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It is the conscious decision. The conscious decision to forgive. The conscious decision to forgive. And I want to give you another reason why forgiveness is necessary. We forgive because God forgives us when we forgive others. But secondly, we forgive in order to access God at a place of prayer. In Mark chapter 11:25, he said, when you stand praying, forgive. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. If you stand praying. In case you are interested in God hearing your prayers, you must forgive. Somebody say a loud amen. In the next service, we shall look at two more of the cure for lovelessness, and that will be death to self and evil passion. Death, the death of self and evil passion. And then it is also rejecting the grip of wickedness by the power of the Spirit. We'll look at those in the two services, in the next service. Hallelujah. I believe somebody received something this morning. And if you're that one, lift up your hands and just appreciate Him. Lift up your hands, everybody, and just give Him the praise. Lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father, I come before you today. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I give you the adoration. Thank you for your word to me today. I receive the grace to walk in love. And I reject today the spell and the spirit of bitterness. I reject the life of godlessness. I reject the spell of envy. I reject the grip of bitterness. I receive the grace to walk in love. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. I receive the grace to walk in love. I receive the grace to walk in love. I receive that 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 grace to walk in love. Thank you, Master. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise. Take your seat 1 minute. And they will show us a very sharp clip of the conference in Leeds. Leeds is northern England. And it is said that a program such as that has never happened there. Highest they will stop in Manchester. That is anybody, Benny Hinn, Daddy Gio, anybody who would hold any program that is major. It hasn't happened in Leeds to the notice of anybody there. So it was a groundbreaking, history-making program. It was a breaking of grounds for that territory of the UK. Show us the clip very quickly And then you can show us the tent also. That man's ear is closed, not formed at all. But he's hearing from it right now.
Are you just sitting and looking? And he saw God. He saw the key for the miracle and the glory of God. And he saw a miracle happen there. And he said, "Is that is not possible." And he decided to come here. And God has done a miracle for his son.
That's the mayor of Leeds. This boy was born deaf and dumb. Hold on with the tent revival. Something happened there that took me completely unawares. A woman came there on a wheelchair, and then from the wheelchair had two crutches that she walked like that, with pelvic fracture that incapacitated her. When she came out at first and asked her to lift up the crutch, she walked like this. And then gave her the wheelchair to push. You will not believe what happened next. Can you show the clip? The woman's clip. The clip of the woman. That was too fast. She took off running. I told her. I told her, stop. Because I didn't want it to fracture a second time. She already ran and threw away the wheelchair. Amen. Show the tenth meeting.
I prophesy. I said the devil shall not have the United Kingdom.
The powers of hell shall not have the United Kingdom. The LGBT shall not have the United Kingdom. Witchcraft shall not have the United Kingdom. The powers of the occult shall not have the United Kingdom. In the name of Jesus. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. In the name of Jesus. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Jesus. A new phase. A new dimension. A new release. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. Walk all the way here, all the way here, all the way here, all the way here.
Rheumatoid arthritis. Neck, leg, everywhere.
It's a crippling condition. Lift your hands. Now I take authority over the rheumatoid factor and every other factor. In arthritis. No! Yes, nerve damage for 8 years.
Yes, and he came to the service with that same condition. At the shout of glory.
Yes.
He said he couldn't feel the pain anymore. And now the neck is free. He can turn
nerve
it
every damage direction. For 8 years. Did the Lord.
Could not turn it at the instance of that declaration. All of a sudden the pain took off. Now he can just turn his neck effortlessly, freely.
Someone give the Lord a praise. Can't hear anything out of this ear since she was 4. She got mumps and got olfactory nerve damage and couldn't close
the trainers.
One.
Someone give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords completely open. Completely open. He said the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the seas. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Lift up your right hand, everybody here. Just get set to receive what God has in store for you.
right, over my finances, over my destiny, over everything that pertains unto me.
Lift up your hands everywhere. Surely, the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely, the presence of the Lord.
I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Thank you for your visitation. It's a visitation of revival. It's a visitation of healing, deliverance, breakthrough, liberation, opening.
I see visitation for marital and family issues. I see visitation on the children. I see visitation breaking the powers of witchcraft, the powers of ancestral curse, generational curse, occultic power. I see the visitation of God. Releasing fresh fire on your prayer altar, fresh fire on your worship, fresh fire on your relationship with Him. Lift your hands high. Are you screaming that name when I say the name of Jesus? 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive. I receive your healing. I receive your deliverance. I receive your liberty. Father, let it flow. Let it flow right now. In the name of Jesus. Are you ready to receive His touch, His visitation, His healing? Receive it now. In the name of Jesus. 1, 2, and 3. Of rejection, setting on fire unclean familiar spirits, laying claim on your life and your destiny, setting on fire ancestral altars, generational occultic family altars, setting on fire enemy limitations on your life and your destiny. Lift your hands now, Father. Let that fire burn. Let that fire burn. If when I say the name of Jesus, one, two, three, you scream the fire and place your hand on your head. Let the fire burn. Let the fire flow. In the name of Jesus, one, two. Father, thank you. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Something happened here just now. I see altars of evil catching fire. I see unclean spirits running back to hell from where they came. Somebody, are you ready to give the Lord a shout of victory? When victory is won in the land of Israel, they clap, they shout, they kick, they jump. Are you ready? You believe something happened to you? Give the Lord a clap, a shout, a leap of joy. Clap your hands. All ye people, shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands. All ye people, shout to the Lord. Ay, 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 ay. When you are there, when you are there, when you are there, when you are there. We have a few minutes left, but I believe that God has healed people. I see a lot of bone conditions healed. A knee has been healed and a hip has been healed. And also the ear has been opened for someone who is not hearing clearly. Somebody's eyes have just cleared. Migraine, terrible migraine with headache has just gone. The spirit of madness with the pressure on the head has just left you. Altars caught fire. A garment was set on fire. Somebody came out of a prison. A demonic spirit walked out of somebody. The spirit of wretchedness and empty-handedness has just been set on fire. The chain has just been broken. And above all, somebody just caught revival fire. Prayer fire. Worship fire. Fire on the study of the word. Anywhere you are, something happened to you, run out quickly because of time. Celebration. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate.
You are
celebrate Jesus. Celebrate.
Jesus, celebrate.
Give the Lord a big clap. Give the Lord a big clap as he said. somebody on fire here now at all? Anybody on fire here at all? Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of victory. Take your seat. Tell me.
Yes, sir. Mama says she came in here. She's had this waist condition, terrible hip condition that had lasted. She couldn't walk erect. Terrible pains.
Wow.
She came in that condition. Well, I wasn't able to see what the diagnosis was. But she said at the shout of I receive and fire that she felt the touch of God, and now she's standing erect, turning her waist.
For how long you couldn't walk upright? For how long you couldn't walk straight?
For a month now.
Really?
Show us how you walk when you came.
Yes.
How did you walk when you came?
I walked bent and, you know, tried myself to walk into the... Well, immediately I reached the environment. I discovered I could stand
straight.
Yes. And when I entered the church, during the time they were featuring the program,
yes,
at, this thing, I saw a woman with the hip problem.
Yes.
I keyed into it and I said, God, locate me. So I discovered, my healing started at that moment.
Wow.
And during the worship, I discovered.
You are straight. Walk straight there now. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout. Are you just sitting and looking like that? Everything crooked in your life is being made. Please, mothers, please show us how you walk when you can.
Sir, apparently God just regenerated her hip.
Regenerated her hip.
There's some thinning on the head of the femur.
That's right.
At that ball joint, looking eroded over there.
That's right.
Just God just
show us how you can walk now.
Miracle. Hey,
are you just sitting and looking at her? I mean, if that woman can run and push the wheelchair, how much more of this? Give the Lord a big clap.
You are not just me.
Hey!
You are not just life.
Ay, 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 ay.
You are a great God. We sing you are God.
You are God. You are not just people.
You are not just God.
You are not just love.
You are a great God.
You are a great God. Today, I declare the repairs. I declare the restoration. Now! In Jesus' name. Tell us what happened.
Our brother.
Please be seated.
Said, when you said we should place our hands on our head. He said he did. His eyes were closed. And he saw you came and place your hands on his forehead. And began to break the spell of empty-handedness and poverty. He fell under the anointing and opened his eyes. He didn't see you again. He now saw you on the altar.
Wow.
I know that he's delivered.
And before you say that, I just wanted to say that there is a financial mantle here this morning. Stretch your two hands in front of you. I prophesy right now. I take authority over the spell of scarcity, the spell of shortage, empty-handedness, everything that makes you to labor without reward, that makes you to sow without reaping. I declare the spell is broken. Now, in the name of Jesus, the systems are put under pressure to release what is yours. They shall lose their peace and sleep and rest. Until what is yours enters your hands, I call it on in Jesus' name. Yes.
This is our brother Moses from Port Harcourt. He arrived from Port Harcourt just for this program. Sir, he's just 40 and he's the eldest in his entire family. Call it kindred. He said this affliction, he was 40 on the 27th. On the 30th, the affliction came. Once the person reaches 40, the affliction will come on the person. Killed his father, killed his uncles, killed everybody in his family.
At the age of your mother too. At the age of 40, he's the eldest
of the extended family, sir. He said when he was coming, it was so bad that he had to be playing tongues of fire to survive the journey into the glory dome. And right now, at the shout of receive, he said hit him on the chest. The same chest I could not breathe well.
Oh, yeah.
And he's free right now.
I knew that the affliction was right on the chest. I almost touched that chest here. Come forward here. Are you ready to destroy every altar of premature death? Altar of destruction, every family altar fighting your life and your destiny. Lift your voice, people, and say after me, say the name of Jesus. Every altar of premature death, every altar of destruction fighting my family, today is your end. All you altar, catch fire! Fire! Catch 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 fire! You altar of destruction! You altar of premature death! Catch fire! Catch fire! Catch fire! Catch fire! Catch fire! Catch fire! Listen to me! What killed others cannot kill you! What reduced others cannot reduce you! What limits others cannot limit you! I declare you are free right now.
Amen.
You shall fulfill your day.
Amen.
Yeah. Something is happening here. Take your seat. Tell me.
Sister Lucy has siblings, 10 of them in number, who have been living abject poverty. They've been to different places trusting for solution, all to no avail. As she shouted fire, she came under power and saw herself in her father's house. And saw her siblings tied to an altar. And suddenly, God's servant appeared. The chain got broken, the altar caught fire, and all of them walked out.
You are free. The Lord is showing me satanic marks of rejection on the forehead of certain people here. Can you stand up on your feet? Place your hand on your head and say after me, every rejection mark, every mark of disfavor, every mark of rejection, every mark of disfavor, every mark of frustration, every mark of limitation on my life and on my destiny. You are refused. You are rejected. You are canceled. You are neutralized. You mark of rejection. You mark of rejection. You mark of frustration. You mark of failure. You mark of backwardness. You mark of empty-handedness. Today is your end. Is your end. Is your end.
Sir.
Yes.
Sister Linda.
It is over in the name of Jesus. I'd like you to confirm that terrible rejection situation in that lady's life. Yes.
Yes. Sister Linda, now 26, at the age of 12, was dedicated to an altar by his uncle. And since then, for the past 14 years, nothing working. And it has been one battle after another. She came into this service, and the course of the ministration, God opened her eyes, and she saw herself loose from a tree that she was tied to. And she believed that is deliverance for her and for that of her family. In her family, said they don't cross 26.
26?
Yes.
26, they are gone.
26?
Yes, July 12th. On the day to my birthday, a sickness came that I cannot even stand up from the bed.
It is over. Lift up your hands.
Again, every embargo placed on anybody's life, every death looking for you, I command that death set on fire.
I don't know why, when you were talking about how God is showing me a situation of coming under pressure, weighing on the bed in the night.
Once it's 12 o'clock, as if there is to call my name, I don't know. Once it's 12 o'clock, I don't sleep.
Lift up your hands.
Fire!
Lift your hands everywhere you are. Lift up your hands. If there's anyone here who has a name that starts with an L, like that same Linda, a woman, having a reproach. You see the devil put you under pressure. You woke up in the morning and you realize you have already weed on the bed.
Why am I like this? What challenge is this? It's not every day. It's almost as if when a testimony or a breakthrough wants to happen. Lift up your hands. I'm talking about a lady. Don't be ashamed. Name starts with an L, like a Linda in love or something. And then the bladder. You just notice in the morning that you have weed on the bed before you realize. What's the name? Just get it for me. Now lift up your hands, everyone. I announce today that is to cover every plague of shame. I believe that there is our locations are connected, and somebody by that name may be in one of the locations with that situation. Let us know. That's the Linda with the plague of the wind of the bed in the night. Don't show the face. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Since there's another one by name Love also. Yes, she can join also. Lift your hands and say, I have every plague of shame. Are you ready? Every plague of shame. Every plague of reproach on my life. Today is the end of you plague. Every devil of shame and reproach. Bring her up. Bring her up. Say after me, every devil of shame and reproach, your tenor expires. The plague of shame and reproach is over. The plague of shame and reproach. It's over. The plague of shame and reproach is over. The plague of shame and reproach is over. The plague of shame and reproach is over. And I prophesy today the release of the garment of glory. Are you ready to receive it? The garment of glory, the garment of honor, the garment of dignity is released upon you now. Amen. Receive.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord the praise. Let's summarize. Our time is up.
Sir, while praying for Sister Lucy, you took authority over spirit of rejection. According to her, she said, for the past 20 years, herself and her brothers and sisters have been complaining about demonic marks in the dream, resulting into rejection in the daytime.
Wow. Demonic marks in the dream, resulting into rejection. Again, I stand here to announce, the Bible says we have been accepted in the beloved. If God has accepted you, no devil can reject you.
Hey.
In the name of Jesus, it's a new season of divine acceptance for you. In Jesus' name.
Sister Hantu, she said for a very long time, she cannot even recall, but more than four times, a demon used to appear to her in a dream and collect her money bag. So that when she wakes up, she can't explain the whereabouts of her money and bags. Spirit of rejection had been her portion. But as we shouted fire, she saw that same demon appear before her, return the bag, and caught fire.
Hey! The demon caught fire. Are you ready to receive back what the devil took from you? Are you ready for this prophetic word? He said, what I say to one, I say to all. I announce today what the devil has taken from you. Taken from the church of Jesus. Taken from our nation, Nigeria. I prophesy restoration. Restoration, restoration, restoration. It is returned.
Sir, God just dismantled.
And that devil is set on fire. Take your seat. Yes.
God just dismantled witchcraft activity. She woke up last week with marks all over her neck. They have faded now. This is an improvement of the camera can pick it. Marks all over there with excruciating pain. She couldn't hear with that ear. Very massive pain. As she came into this service this morning, the pains are gone. The marks have faded. Please show what is left of the marks.
And the marks were more than that.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
How many of this marks?
Wake up from this dream for this marks to come.
Yes, sir.
In Jesus' name. You are free. In Jesus' name, finally.
Incredible, sir. Our sister Lima said for 3 months she has suffered from this deadly headache, unable to move the head or even do anything. And her mother died of this same headache 15 years ago. At the shout of I receive, a dark smoke, she said, left her.
A dark smoke left her.
Yes, sir.
Somebody say, every stranger in my life, you are leaving now.
You are leaving now.
Oh, you stranger.
Oh, you stranger.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
On your mark.
On your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
Shout, go.
Go.
Stranger, go. Back to hell. 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 In the name of Jesus. One more time. What killed your mother, killed your father, and killed people in your community will never touch you. In Jesus' name.
Sir, we have 32 cases of your pain and fever gone. 11 cases there. And the cases you called there, 4 of them have that name L.
Wow.
Love and Linda.
Give the Lord a praise.
After for the remaining 6.
Give the Lord a praise. Celebrations and return back to your seat. Tell me something. At work here in unprecedented ways, and I want to let you know we have seen nothing yet. I want to beg you, please, if you are coming for service and it is the first service, come at the dot of time so you can experience everything in the service. I know there are people coming now, I'm sure that they are coming for second service, but if it is first service, just ensure you are there on time. Also, ensure that you come with people. We do not well. This day is the day of good tidings. We do not well, the leper said, if we hold our peace. For that purpose, we have the handbill for coming Sunday, Healing and Deliverance Crusade. Give the Lord the praise. And ushers can distribute that very, very quickly. It is also the Thanksgiving or the last day of the International Ministers Training for our conference. And it's going to be very, very explosive. Handbills are available. We have 3 handbills here today. Second one is the handbill. We already have the International Ministers Training for our conference that is starting on Tuesday. And delegates are already on the ground here. Please ensure that you invite your friends and loved ones. And then the final handbill is the beginning of the convention, which is actually Relationship and Family Breakthrough Service. We mentioned that before, that the Monday of the convention or the Revival Week is going to be for family and relationship matters. Husband and wife matters, singleness matters, and all those matters is commencing tomorrow by 5:30 p.m. Handbills are all available. And please, handbills are not for you to keep. Handbills are for you to distribute. Ensure that you don't allow the church to waste the money by printing this only for you to keep. Ensure that you do your part by giving it to somebody. It's not for abundance of money that we print things like this. It is for evangelistic purpose. And at the back of it are testimonies, so that somebody will not just see a handbill, but just show them the testimony at the back to read what is at the back of it that can give them an expectation of what to expect. Please distribute all these handbills and the Lord bless you. Furthermore, we have the first Healing and Deliverance Crusade that we had. A woman testified on how she was owing money in 8 figures. And we asked people to write one thing that they want God to do for them, and she wrote that, and the debt was wiped out the same Sunday. On the basis of that, want to
continue to make people to present an expectation. Because you may not be sick in the body, but there may be something that you need God to do for you. So if you have a piece of paper, you pick it up. And if you don't have, you lift up your hand. They'll give you a plain piece of paper. And you are going to write just one thing you want God to do for you. Yes, ushers have little pieces of paper in case you don't have. And they'll give you one. And then you write one thing you expect God, trust God to do for you for the healing and deliverance crusade. Lord, the anointing that is flowing today, I am expecting and trusting you to do this or do that for me based on this anointing. And God will do it. Go ahead and get that done. So, we don't have any extra announcement other than the fact that the whole week is the International Ministers Flaming Fire Conference. Give the Lord a shout of praise. From Tuesday, after Tuesday healing and deliverance service, sessions will be running 7:30 a.m. all the way. Your two hands in front of you. Father, I ask that you bless the hand of everybody and let the hand stretch out. Never return back to beg in Jesus' name. Quickly pick up your offerings before you continue your writing so that we can get this out of the way. Pick up your offerings, your tithes, and your pledges. While we are doing this, the highest offering somebody here will give to God is the offering of your own life. I give you my life. I surrender my life to you. You want your sins forgiven? You want Jesus to be Lord over your life? Anywhere you are in this sanctuary here, carry your Bibles and bags and quickly meet me in the front here. Pastor, I have seen the miracles, I've heard the testimonies, I've watched what God is doing, and I want God to change my life. You want God to change your life? Carry your Bibles, carry your bags, and rush to the front here. I'll give you the count of 10. You want God to save you? You want God to change your life? You want your sins forgiven. You want today to mark a new day for you. Quickly, rush to the front here. I'll give you the count of 10. 1.
I have decided to follow Christ.
Don't be the last person to come. Be the first person. 2. To rededicate yourself to God. You want an addiction broken of your life. Tired of smoking, tired of drinking, tired of any of such lifestyle. Also rush to the front here at the count of 5-1.
Lord, I give you.
2. Wants to stop smoking, drinking, womanizing, prostitution, negative lifestyle.
Every moment of the week, every
morning. Have your way, Lord.
Have your way.
Blessed be your name. Place your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, I've come before you to surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.